He's called the Dirt Doctor. You can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with me on the show is 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Crazy Water. Crazy Water, the water from mineral wells that I like a lot, recommend, and drink myself. Some of my golf buddies are always curious that I bring water out instead of drinking the water that they have out there, but it's lots better. If you haven't tried it, give it a whirl. You can find out more about it by going to drinkcrazywater.com. This cap is from their little store over there. They've got a lot of interesting things. They used to have Famous Water and Crazy Water. That's what the famous means on the hat there. Those of you that are members, the webcam is on, and you can check out the shenanigans going on here. Also wanted to tell you about my sprinkler company. We did a little in Howard's garden at the office. I wanted to replant some grass because I'd been experimenting with a bunch of things, and one of my crazy experimentations was to see how long I could go in between waterings, and I did it a little too long when it was 106 degrees and lost some of the San Augustine that was weak anyway. It was there when we bought the place, and so I wanted to replant anyway and show people, and we're in the process of doing a video on this to show people how I recommend planting solid sod and to wet the backside of the sod before it goes down. Tropical John and his guys helped us do the work, and we tried two different routes that you'll see in the video. One is flipping the sod over on the site and watering the backside of it before you put it down, and the other is actually having a wash tub and dipping the sod pieces in the water before you put them down. That one gives you the advantage of being able to put a little Garrett juice and mycorrhizae in the water before they go down. But we did both. We'll see if it makes a great deal of difference. King Lawn was involved also. King Lawn Sprinkler Company, who I've worked with forever. I've worked with them way back in the days when I was in the landscape design a business years ago, but they're still in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and in my opinion, the best, and that's why I work with them. But during all my crazy experiments, I'd covered up two sprinkler heads, and that was another reason that area had gotten in trouble. So they came over and helped me do that. If you, I've mentioned this before, if you need to do some renovation to your sprinkler system, right now is the perfect time to do it because you're getting into the cool season where they really have the time to come in and help you with things and change. One of the things we did, we changed the sections so that the grass areas are not being watered on the same sections as the beds and some of the things that I should have done a long time ago. And if you need some help with that, that's the company that I recommend. They've got a banner ad on dirtdoctor.com, all the contact information and all that. Back to the phones. Let's go to Dallas and talk about molasses a little bit more with Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Howard. This is Mark Painter over Stonewall Jackson.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I've been wanting to talk to you about the whole issue of fertilization for a long time, but it's just such a big subject. I'm going to take much longer conversation. But you had agreed with Wendell Berry when he says that when you good solution to a problem doesn't cause more problems, right?
Yes, I would, Mark.
My problem with a lot of the organic fertilizers, and especially the sugars, the molasses, and let's say cottonseed meal and alfalfa, is that these are feedstocks, like you mentioned before. They were designed to feed animals. I guess they were a waste product, but they were designed to feed animals. Advocating that we encourage more people to put out sugars, you're going to do a couple things. You're going to increase the price of the sugars, it's going to increase the price of, like you said, soy and corn. Excuse me, I got a cold. But it's also going to, you know, open up more land that's habitat for animals. It's going to open up more land into production for these sugars and these products. I don't think it's a good solution environmentally for, you know, it's not a sustainable solution.
Do you think it would be better to put out weed and feed fertilizers and use Scott's regular fertilizers?
No. But,
well, that's the reason I recommend them, Mark. You and I have talked about this before, and I don't mind discussing it on the air. It's fine. I think that in an ideal situation, people recycle the stuff that grows on their property, and I talk about it all the time, and I know that's where you're coming from. You want to do compost and recycle mulches and things like that and not buy any commercial products, and that's fine. But the real world is that landscape properties are going to have to use something. They can't do what you do on your wonderful vegetable garden there at the school. They just can't do it. It's impractical. And so the next best practical thing to do is to buy something that's reasonable and that stimulates biological activity in the soil and does the good things that we recommend. I think in a perfect situation, you and Ruth Stout are right on target. Did you hear me talking about her earlier?
Yeah, I read.
The only thing she ever recommended was throwing mulch on the top of the ground. Well, that's great if you've got really good soil to start with, and you don't need to produce anything in a big hurry. But,
well, you know, we've got – this is the problem I have with a lot of the organic recommendations, and with Randy Johnson and I have fought about this for I don't know how long, you know, about expanded shell and all these kinds of things. Well, last year we hosted a permaculture group at the school that did a week-long session, and we created one of those beds where we took just a lot of stuff from the garden, the spent black-eyed peas and different – things, and we piled them up on top of a layer of it was grass, some Bermuda, and we put cardboard, and we put about 10 inches of mulch and made these little holes in it and planted into some soil. And I didn't think it would work just doing like that, but it did great. I mean, it produced really, really nice cabbages. We didn't even fertilize it.
Well, I totally agree, and I recommend that to people at home that want to do little herb gardens and vegetable gardens. But once again, when you're talking about doing golf courses and parks and major landscaping and homeowners across the United States, they ain't all going to do that, Mark. They just aren't going to do it. So you have to have a second method of going. Would you not agree with that?
Well, I think what we're doing is we're about to run up against a wall environmentally.
You think every homeowner and every golf course should start maintaining their places like you maintain the vegetable gardens at Stonewall Jackson? And you do a wonderful job, as you know, and I'm totally on board with how you do it and what you're doing and everything else. But from a landscape standpoint, that doesn't work.
Well, I'm telling you that the law of landscaping is going to have to change because of water issues in the future and I mean, per capita consumption and how the area is growing. You can't just keep damming up rivers and, you know, flooding farmland and expect society to keep going on.
Well, none of that is anything that we recommend. One of the things that we've done and we've had a hard time convincing people to do, and this ought to give you a good indication of, you know, how difficult it is to do what we need to do, we have absolute solid proof in black and white research projects, now in several cases showing that we can cut the water use on any project by 50% by using the techniques that we recommend. 50% water savings on golf courses and parks and major landscaping and everything is big numbers. And in a lot of cases, the water use is the biggest line item in the budget.
You can do that with natives. You know, natives and adapted plants.
What are you going to do on a golf course? Change the grass to native grasses? It's been kind of hard to play out of the native grasses.
I won't get into golf courses because it's
well, I have to. I have to get into all kinds of projects, not just vegetable gardens.
Well, do this. Have your people look up the impact of sugar production around the world on the environment, on habitats, animal habitats. It's an incredible, intensive, energy-intensive habitat-destroying process, and it's not sustainable for society, and it's not an environmentally friendly thing. It's not an eco-friendly thing. You know, most of the organic people are coming off as eco-friendly. This is Mother Nature the natural way, and that's not the natural way. I'm sorry, it's just not natural to go get sugar and put it on the ground.
My house, what would you suggest that I do on my house, my landscaping?
Well, people were organic, you know, 50 years ago, Rodale was, and they were not using sugars. They were using manures. Mainly organic fertilizers are to be manures. They need to be run through an animal before they're used. So you can't grow cotton, take the cotton seed mill, and just put it on the land as a fertilizer. It doesn't make any sense in terms of efficiency, or it really ought to stay up there in West Texas where they're growing it, but they ship it to urban areas because they can get more money for it.
Yeah, not anything I recommend very highly either. Well, I appreciate your call. We'll talk more about it when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Howard Garrett's new book, Organic Management for the Professional, is the first comprehensive guide to going green in large-scale landscaping, soil building, correct planting techniques, fertilizing, and pest control. You will learn how to apply these organic methods in large-scale landscaping, such as orchards, tree farms, and greenhouses, as well as recreational properties such as golf courses and parks. The Organic Management for the Professional is written for landscape architects and contractors, golf course managers, park administrators, turf managers, or other stewards of the land. Buy it today from your local bookstore, retailer, or the Natural Organic Warehouse.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend you try for your dogs. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. Main thing to them is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. Other major points are the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. Some of the Munster dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, but all Munster natural foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard Garrett back with you, and telephone number is 866-444-3478. That last caller was, it may not have sounded like it, but a friend of mine, Mark Painter, who is in charge of the vegetable garden for the students and works with the students and the parents and everything over at Stonewall Jackson School in Dallas. And that's about the fourth time he's given me that lecture, first time that he called on the show, which is fine. And I don't disagree with him in concept, but you just have to be practical as well as be idealistic to a degree. Some people would call me the wide-eyed idealist because I don't recommend any salt fertilizers at all, any synthetic fertilizers or any toxic chemical pesticides. But you do have to have alternatives if you're going to convert the world, which is my mission, to convert the world over to organics. You cannot do it by trying to talk everybody out there in homes and businesses across the country into doing what Mark does, and that's to use nothing but compost and urine that was peed in a bucket and mulch on the top of the ground. That's great. That I love, you know, using those ultimately natural techniques, and I do myself. And we use bought materials on a very limited basis. Instead of the chemicals being used 4, 5, 6 times a year, the synthetic fertilizers, and there are some organic people that do that often. I don't. I recommend 1 or 2 applications a year, and then recycle as much things as you possibly can. But we do have to use some technology. And the one thing that I'd really strongly disagree with, I think that the technology on mycorrhizal fungus and mycorrhizal fungus products and natural pest control, like products like Actinovate and other kinds of things, make all the sense in the world, and take it from a level of production where it's not very good in the beginning and gets a little better and a little better and a little better to something where you can convert somebody over cold turkey, and the production of the food crops or landscaping, whatever it is as good the right after conversion as it is before. And that's the only way we're going to convert the world, is if we can show them how it will work and look as good as it did before or better, and cost the same as it did before or less. And that's what we've come up with. And the products that we recommend today, in a month, I might not be recommending anymore. And that drives some of the organic people crazy, and it really drives some of the product people crazy, because if I come up with a better mousetrap, that's what I'm going to be recommending to you. And what I recommend today is not what I recommended a year ago. We are always coming up with something that works better. And the sugars, which he seemed to have a real big problem with today, are not ideal long term. It's just it's something that works really well for that transition, and then using it on a limited basis, on an ongoing basis, especially in liquid sprays. The liquid molasses in the Garrett juice is critical as far as keeping that biological level up, buffering water that's not in good shape, buffering air pollution, buffering the chemicals that are in the air that are drifting over from the people that are using it on other properties and all that kind of thing, as do all of the other ingredients in the Garrett juice mixture. Those of you hearing all this for the first time, Garrett juice is compost, tea, vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and fish. Formula is on the website. It's in my books. It's available to anybody that wants to make their own. And yes, there are commercial products available for those people who don't want to make their own. They're not our products. They're other people's products, and we allow the name to be used under licensing agreements, but they are available for you out there. Back to the phones. Chuck and Garland next up. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Howard. Thanks. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
I moved into this house over here in Garland 6 or 7 years ago, something like that. Had beautiful St. Augustine lawn. Well, last year, the drought really took a toll on part of it. I live on a corner, so I have a front yard and a side yard.
Uh-huh.
Side yard gets a whole lot of sun. And a big patch right in the middle of the St. Augustine died off completely last year. I might have had chinch bugs out there. I never could find any, but it kind of looked like that.
Well, you may have, Chuck, but that's kind of a secondary deal. There was quite a bit of chinch bug damage around, but the first problem was just the drought and the burning up of that spot.
Yeah, I could not water enough to keep up. Yeah. Right around the sprinkler heads, nice, beautiful, you know, still got some pretty good St. Augustine out there. So that's one problem.
Is it still a problem area, or did you get it fixed already?
I could see this year where there are some runners of the St. Augustine trying to move back into that area, but they're competing with some Dallas grass and some other stuff. I don't know what it is. So that's kind of a work in progress. I'm wondering, I'm not married to this St. Augustine, and I'm kind of wondering if I can't just overseed that with something that will survive the direct sunlight and give me some green, you know, instead of the brown, big, huge brown patch out there.
Yeah, it would have been better if you'd called me a few months before now. You can scratch it up with a hard rake and expose some soil so you have good soil seed contact, and use buffalo grass. Put down buffalo grass seed. But it's not going to – it'll germinate kind of late, and it probably may or may not make it through the winter if you do it right now. So it may be better to do it next spring after it's warm enough.
Well, okay.
Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to take a quick break, and then we'll talk more. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Voters have been lining up since before dawn for today's presidential election in Venezuela. There's so much distrust between the campaigns of President Hugo Chavez and challenger Enrique Capriles that there have been concerns that the results of a close election won't be respected. Thousands of people have been marching today in dozens of Spanish cities. They're protesting austerity cuts they say will only increase unemployment and job insecurity. The U.S. has agreed to let South Korea possess longer-range missiles that could strike all of North Korea. Under a 2001 accord with the United States, South Korea has been barred from developing and deploying missiles with a range of more than 186 miles because of concerns about a regional arms race. One woman said she thought it was a mistake on the sign when she pulled into a gas station and found gas selling for $4.65 a gallon. More details at srnnews.com.
From Columbia Pictures.
From Genesis 32:24.
When he saw, he prevailed.
Here Comes the Boom. It's the funniest and most inspirational film of the year.
I saw this fight and a guy got 10 grand.
Do you really think you could save the school by doing this?
Don't worry.
I know what I'm doing.
This is going to be funny.
On October 12th, when you don't give up.
What are you teaching these kids if you go through with it?
What am I teaching them if I don't?
Nothing can take you down.
What happened to your eye?
I cut myself shaving.
Here Comes the Boom. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters October 12th.
The Business Software Alliance wants you to know that if you work for a company that copies software illegally, you're working for a company.
Hey, speak up. I can't hear you. Everyone knows that copying software illegally is breaking the law and creates unfair advantage. No need to whisper. If you see this happening where you work, report it confidentially to the BSA. Just visit nopiracy.org. In addition to doing what's right, report software piracy, and you may also be eligible for a cash reward. That's nopiracy.org.
With Ezra Sports, I'm Patrick Foster with five top 25 matchups Saturday, with all the winners expected to move up significantly in the polls. In Columbia, sixth-ranked South Carolina, clobber number five Georgia, 35-7. The old ball coach Steve Spurrier's team has the Bulldogs number.
Beating them 3 years in a row, a school that sort of used to own us, and they can't say they own us anymore, that's for sure.
6-0 Gamecocks could jump up as high as number three. 10th-ranked Florida used to smothering defense, not allowing a touchdown, and beating 4th-ranked LSU 14-6. After a 41-11 loss to LSU last year, Gator safety Matt Elam says they were out for revenge.
They beat us down last year at home. I feel like we had to come back and we had a point to prove. We had a plan to hit them in their mouth, and that was the plan. We had a great game plan that we executed.
Gators are 5-0. The Tigers 5-1. Geno Smith passed for four touchdowns, leading number 8 West Virginia to another wild shootout win of the Big 12, 48-45 at 11th-ranked Texas. Second-ranked Oregon is 6-0 after smothering number 23 Washington 52-21. 12th-ranked Ohio State is 6-0 after a 63-38 rout of number 21 Nebraska. This is Esser in Sports. Third-ranked Florida State led 16-0 at halftime and then shockingly lost to North Carolina State 17-16. Mike Lennon's two-yard touchdown pass on fourth down with 16 seconds left to Brian Underwood was the game winner. Underwood was asked about that last drive.
We kind of got a tempo going on him, got him making some plays, and that's what we wanted to do.
Kansas State is 5-0 after the 7th-ranked Wildcats beat Kansas 56-16. 9th-ranked Notre Dame improved to 5-0 for the first time since 2002 with a 41-3 rout of Miami. 14th-ranked Oregon State beat Washington State 19-6. It was 15th-ranked Clemson 47, Georgia Tech 31. Iowa State surprised number 15, TCU 37-23. 17th-ranked Oklahoma down Texas Tech 41-20. 18th-ranked Stanford had to go to overtime to beat Arizona 54-48. It was number 20, Mississippi State 27, Kentucky 14. Other top 25 winners, Rutgers, Penn State, and California. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number 866. This might be for next week, but you might be able to still get in here. 866-444-3478. I'm going to talk about the grass under trees that Chuck and I talked about off the air a little bit, but Carol's been holding a long time, so I wanted to go to her in North Richland Hills first. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've just got a question about pampas grass. I have some, and I need to find out whether to cut it back for the winter or not. We didn't cut it last year, and it really didn't look that good for the summer. So what do you think I ought to do with it?
Well, the key is how much brown is in it, Carol. I would think that last year was so mild that it didn't brown up very much at all.
Okay.
Was that the case? Did it stay pretty green?
It stayed pretty green, but we didn't cut back the dark part, and it just didn't look very good.
Okay. So. The answer is you cut it back to cut off all the brown so new fresh growth can come out. And if you've got kind of a mixture of still green leaves and some brown leaves, like maybe happened from last year, you have a look that you don't like. The ideal time to do it is late winter, though, not now. If you do it now, you just look at a stub all winter.
Right.
Leave it up. If it looks decent at all, cut it back just before, and that's a guess a little bit, but just before the new growth starts, and then you get new fresh growth all over the entire plant.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you would do any ornamental grass, really.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions as far as how to cut it? because, I mean, it's really, it's kind of hard to cut.
Well, some people use machetes, literally, on pampas grass. Pampas grass has a feature that it will cut you. The leaves are sharp, so you have to be careful with it. But you can cut them with a chainsaw, with machete, with, pruning tools, with clippers, hand shears, a few leaves at a time, whatever kind of gear you have. Or the easiest thing is to hire a landscape maintenance bunch to cut it back for you. But I would wait till, February or something like that, so that you don't have a very long period of time of looking at the stub that's left till you have the new foliage coming out.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate the call.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about the grass under trees. Chuck was, I think, a little frustrated that the grass used to look good, and why can't we have the grass under the trees again? Well, what happens is this, and this happens the most common question those of us in this business get. What can I do to get the grass growing under my trees again? For some period of time, the trees are allowing enough sunlight to come in for the grass to continue to do all right. And the root system has not gotten so thick that it's not out-competing the grass. Well, at some point in every situation, you get to a place where the trees have simply created too much shade, the roots are too thick, the grass cannot grow, and it doesn't matter what you do. You can root prune the trees, you can trim some of the top out of the trees, and all you're going to do in that situation is hurt the trees. You have to bite the bullet and do one of two things. Take the trees out, which in most cases would be a really dumb thing to do, in my opinion. I like trees more than grass. In a golf course situation or a park where you have to have the grass for recreational purposes or sport or whatever, obviously you got to take some trees out. But for residential situations, you do what we've done at home. You take the grass out or just let it die away, which it's doing already anyway, and you put in the first step I was recommending to him at the end of the season like this. You put in mulch, put in shredded tree trimmings mulch or a shredded hardwood bark mulch on the bare soil. It looks good. The trees love it. That's the thing they like the most. And it gets you through the winter, and then during the winter, plant some ground cover in there in the soil that the mulch, getting back to this really inexpensive way to improve the soil for certain ground covers, especially the native things like horse herb. This would work great. You could plant wood fern and other things in there, or just leave the mulch. In a lot of cases, the green around a mulched area is quite nice, and it can even create a sitting area or something like that. But especially live oak trees that are evergreen, but other trees that are deciduous too, they are going to eliminate the ability to grow grass. It's just black and white. When it happens can vary, but whether it happens or not is a given. It's going to happen. Jim in Colorado Springs next up. Hi, Jim.
Well, hi, Dr. Garrett. How are you doing, sir?
Pretty fair. What's up?
Oh, hey, I just built a new house, and it's out in the woods, North Colorado Springs.
Okay.
And all around the property, I had cut back a lot of the trees, fire code, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I want to put in a very large organic garden.
Good for you.
Yeah, so two things. One is, what can I ground cover all of the dirt area now, where we cut it back, so that it will be allowed to, number one, keep the mud down. Number two, have some natural grasses or something grow back. And then what can I start prepping the large area where I'm going to have the garden for next year?
Jim, do you have, I know you have some Ace hardware stores that sell organic products and stuff, but do you have some feed stores and farm stores that sell seed and legumes and things like that?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, go see those guys, and I don't know what specific varieties would be best for you in Colorado Springs, but look at the cool season grasses, of course, and vetches and clovers and cover crops and things that they would recommend, and see see what they have available and go with, you know, whatever they recommend locally there for you. I would, in some cases, maybe just cover with a thick blanket of mulch, just like I went through with the last caller. So
go out and, like, take all my – I mean, I have more trees than Carter has liver pills. So go out, chip up all the bark from that or the pieces of limbs and throw that mulch out there?
You bet. Don't ever let any of that material leave your site. Get it ground up and leave it there. It's the best mulch you can get. If you don't have enough, you can get some more of the same kind of mulch from the tree care companies that are working around in the area that would be looking for a place to dump it. But a combination of the cool season legumes and grasses and clovers and things, whatever they tell you, will work there. And then thick blankets of mulch. And by spring, you'll be very surprised at how much it will have improved the soil, and you'll be ready to go. If you can put down some compost under that mulch and leave that for a while, that's even better.
So what can I do to prep for the garden area that we want to put in? It's going to be a food garden.
Well, the same thing, but if you want to speed up the process, like we were talking about earlier, you can put down the dry molasses. You can put down organic fertilizers. You can put down compost that you can buy. You probably haven't produced your own compost enough yet to do that. So you're going to have to purchase some, and that would be fine to put it down and work it into the soil along with some sugars and some additional rock materials, some kind of rock. You probably have plenty of granite in the soil there already. So some other rock like zeolite or lava sand or basalt or something mixed into the soil, the stores you'd go to for those would be the sand and gravel places in the area.
So should I just till up that soil out there, put a bunch of this stuff into it, the molasses and the different types of zeolites or rocks out there?
Mix it right into the existing soil, that's right.
Just then let the soil sit, or do I cover it with, like, some more of the tree bark and stuff?
Yeah, cover it with the mulch. Let it sit there until we get into late winter, early spring, and then we'll start talking about planting stuff at that point, and you'll be amazed at how it will have improved if you mix all those things together in there and let the microbes work on it for you over the winter.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Good luck. You'll have fun doing it. Let's go to Jerry in Holiday. Is that Holiday, Texas, Jerry? Hey, Jerry.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Man, I am doing better, but I just appreciate you so much, Howard. I've known you. I was up there in McKinney with the Crepe Myrtle Society and all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Well, appreciate you calling.
Well, let me tell you why I called. What's the man's name that said you got to run everything to an animal first?
What, you mean the caller earlier? Or?
Yeah, the caller.
Well, that's my friend Mark.
Well, I'll tell you, tell Mark that I'm completely on his side. I'm going out to the auction next week and buy me 4 or 5 cows and some goats and stake them in my yard so I can run everything through them. I'm just kidding.
It makes it tough in a residential neighborhood to do that. Now, I don't disagree that that's ideal to do.
Oh, no, and I'm not here trying to be nasty or anything, but what you're doing, thank goodness you want us to get, or the whole world to get off of the pesticides and herbicides and all of the things that really are negative. And I appreciate what he said, too.
Sure.
Boy, we've got to have a balance, and I don't think he's really thought it through completely, and there's not a 100% answer, but, boy, I appreciate what you do.
Well, thanks, Jerry.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you.
Is that all you had? Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay. Let's go to let me see who's next up. Gus in Casa View. Is that Casa View here in Dallas?
Yes, Okay. Hi, Howard. Good morning.
Hey.
I had two things. One is I found a really good source for garlic, organic garlic starts, I guess. Not starts, but the little cloves.
Oh, good. Where is it?
It's up in Washington State. I have to mail order. It's called Filaree Farm, Filaree.
Well, you know, I've bought from them before, Gus.
Oh, have you?
And I thought they were out of business.
No, they're still there. I just bought some last year. I just put in an order a couple days ago. They must have 20 or 30 different types of garlic?
No, I've had the owner on the show, as a matter of fact, and I've bought from him. They do a good job. But yeah, a couple of years ago, I tried to get a hold of him and couldn't. Somebody told me he had sold out to – maybe there's a new owner and they're using the same name.
Maybe that's it.
Spell it for everybody again.
Okay, Filaree Farm.com, okay. I believe. Filaree Farm.
That's exactly right.
Last year I ordered from them and got a half a pound of garlic cloves, and 100% of them came up, and it's all organic. It's real nice.
That's good. Another source, somebody called the show last week about it. It's a seed company that I have used and have been very impressed with. It's called Baker Creek Seed, and they handle just a tremendous volume of seed. They aren't certified organic, but everything they do is organic, and they may have some garlic also.
There was an article in the July 1 of Morning News about cattle deaths under cyanide.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
It's about a four-sentence deal, or death of 15 cattle, Jerry Abel's ranch northeast of
Austin. Hang on, I got a break. Let me talk to you off the air. I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back. Let's talk about water. My favorite water is a water I recommend you try also. It's called Crazy Water, and the reason is it's not processed by reverse osmosis like many water companies are. It has naturally occurring minerals, and it's good for you and tastes great. The main thing I want to tell you about today is an event that's coming up. On October 12th and 13th, it's the Crazy Water Festival, celebrating 131 years. Friday, October the 12th, from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., enjoy live music by Ruby Jane and Hartley Corsi. Saturday, October the 13th, festivities begin at 8 a.m. with the Crazy 5K Run and continues all day with crazy activities like street art, children's area, car show, and craft and food vendors. Taste Roar Brewery's Crazy Water beer exclusively at the Crazy Water Fest. Live music all day. Lots of good stuff. Visit drinkcrazywater.com for more information.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
They say that their service is the most comprehensive plant analysis program available. And you know, I agree with them. Who am I talking about? Well, it's Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They have a brand new website. It's called asktheplant.com. Their telephone number is 956-383-0739. This is the company that does soil testing, water testing, petiole testing, the stem testing, in other words, and anything related to toxic materials. See the new website. It's asktheplant.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life.
Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
The Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building amendments longer than anyone in the organic business. All Medina products work by stimulating soil biology and to help plants indirectly. Whether you're growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel comfortable knowing that you're spending dollars wisely, as well as treating your soil, plants, and the environment right. All of Medina's products feed the soil. Some feed the plants directly, but all of them feed the plants indirectly, and some of the Medina products are totally organic. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website is medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina labels at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products. The Medina products are always available from naturalorganicwarehouse.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Let's go to Fort Worth and talk to Claudia. Hello, Claudia.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks.
Good. Well, I'm a recent homeowner. Just bought a house.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And in my apartment, I had quite the green thumb, and I would like to extend it to my home. My garden, my lawn, really has no garden, and I was just wondering where to start.
Well, tell me what's there on the property right now.
Grass, and some sad-looking grass, and a few trees.
A few decent trees, or?
Yeah, the trees look pretty decent. One of them needs some limbs trimmed that my husband's going to do. But other than that, really nothing. There's a few kind of one sorry-looking flower bed with no flowers in it.
Okay. Let me give you a tip that I have rarely given, Claudia. The second book that I ever wrote is a book called Landscape Design Texas Style.
Okay.
And I don't talk about it very much because it's not on the market anymore.
Okay.
My friend Stanley Marcus wrote the foreword for it. It's got some really interesting things in it. I've talked to the University of Texas Press about updating it and redoing it, but we haven't done that yet. It can be found probably if you do a book search. Some of these places like bookfinder.com on the internet will have it, and sometimes Half Price Books has one. It goes through my design philosophy, which is very, very simple. And I think if you could get one of those, it would help you better than anybody I've talked to in a long time. My design philosophy is that you design the use areas for the property first. You're not even thinking about plants or anything too much. And then once you design those use areas and the circulation system, how the walkways, how you get around, where you, how you get to the utility area, the compost area, the play area for the kids, if that's the case. You see what I mean? You design the property by how and where you're going to use different things. And then the first planting design you do is the location of the trees. And you start with a base map that shows where everything exists, all the existing features on the property. And then you design in the next phase of the planting is to design where trees should go. And it has something to do with how you're going to use the property, of course, and all that. And the trees, I would always work from looking out of the house, looking out the windows and looking at the property, driving by it and looking in from all situations. I'm a big believer and I don't want to see the neighbors much and I don't want to see the telephone poles and I don't want to see utilities. And I design in the trees so that they would block those kind of views and create, you know, more of a pleasant environment on the property. And then the next thing is you start laying out the beds and designing them. A lot of people skip all that first stuff, and they start buying shrubs and ground cover and flowers and sticking them in here and there, and you end up with a hodgepodge that doesn't really work very well. So if you go through the planning process, and my book would really help you, this book called Landscape Design Texas Style, it goes through the whole steps of how to do the preliminary design, bubble diagrams, and get to the point of knowing where things ought to go before you start buying plants and putting them in. And then you spend your money, the bulk of your money, on trees first, and then you go to the next step of building the beds and doing the other things.
Now, is there anything I can do to optimize on this time of year? Like, the grass is looking pretty sad. Is there anything I can lay down to kind of help promote healthy growth in the spring or to keep it decent through the winter? Anything like fertilizer on what's like around the trees? Like anything, you know, because it's such a great time and temperature-wise.
Well, it's not only a great time temperature-wise, it's the best time horticulturally to do the work. And, yeah, putting out compost. If you want to buy bulk compost and spread it on the pile it around in piles and take a big rake and just rake it out on the turf, throw it in the bed areas, that'd be great. Spraying the Garrett Juice Plus formula, which you can make yourself. The formula is on dirtdoctor.com and in my books. It's not in that design book. That design book was so long ago, it wasn't even organic back in those days.
Okay.
Spraying it everywhere, putting out the shredded tree trimmings mulch on the bare areas of your property that you can get from a tree care company or a maintenance company that needs to put it somewhere anyway. You can purchase it if you can't find any of those people.
Okay, now just mulch around the base of trees and then compost throughout the grass, like just on top of the grass?
Not heavy shredded compost on the grass. Out on the grass, you want to do compost itself because it'll be fine enough texture to work it down into the turf. The mulch would cover the grass up. Put the mulch in any bare areas and in beds and things like that. And I'm glad you mentioned putting mulch around trees because I don't recommend putting it around the trees and letting it pile up on the trunk or the flare at all. Look at our website and go into trunk flares and root flares. Look at that information about mulching trees and treating trees properly. Try to find that book and lay out your property and do it right from the beginning, and you'll come back to me one day and say, you're right, I did the planning and it really paid off long term.
Okay, hang on,
I'll talk to you off the air, and those of you that are others holding, I'll talk to you before I leave. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Enjoyed being with you very much. Be sure to go out and see the great State Fair of Texas, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and say hello to my Marine friends out there. And I'll see you next week. In the meantime, dirtdoctor.com, our newsletter, send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. And don't forget to feed the birds.